Hi, my name is Reuben Porter. I'm the lead pastor here at Crossroads Church, and it's great to have you on our podcast today. We hope this message encourages you, builds you up in your faith, and ultimately brings you closer to Jesus. Enjoy. Well, Happy New Year. It's a real privilege to be able to bring the first message of 2025. I hope you've had a lovely Christmas and spending quality time with your friends and your family. And I just want to take some time today just to start off the year to remind us to allow the hope of heaven to always have space in our lives. Last week, Isaac spoke to us about rest and not feeling bad about having times of rest. Today, I just wanted just to remind us that when things are maybe a bit busier or things are going on, that we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. There's an online journal that does blog posts each day. It's called Psychology Today. It's a secular organization. But there's a lady, Michelle McQuaid, who wrote this: "The tiny ripple of hope that you set in motion can change the path of someone's life. The tiny ripple of hope you set in motion can change the path of someone's life." It's a very true statement. And in the life of Jesus, when people encountered him, they seemed to have a new sense of hope in their lives. And that's what happens to us when we have the encounter with Christ. And our story today, it's a familiar one. Those of us who've grown up in Sunday school, it's the Sunday school favorite. It's the story of a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a guy who was willing to do, well, he was willing to do actually the unthinkable just to get close to Jesus. He climbs up a sycamore tree, he looks over the crowd just in hope that he gets to see this guy that some say is the Son of God. Others say that he is the Messiah. And he's willing to put himself in a position that a few people would be willing to do, and doing so just so that he can see this guy who calls himself the Son of Man. There's hope and grace and all of those things that come into his life. They come flooding into his life. And this story, it's really, really interesting how it shares this with us. In the text, it tells us that he's a tax collector, which means he didn't have very many friends. The reason being that tax collectors, they were the guys who came knocking on the door asking for money. And at times, actually, they demanded money, demanded payment for you to make. And what was worst was he was a Jew. And he would knock on the door of his Jewish brothers and sisters to collect money, tax money, that would be given to the Roman government. And that the Roman government would then use to keep the Jews in subjection under the Roman Empire. So this guy had no friends. He was an outcast, even to his own people. And yet this man, who had no friends, who was an outcast, becomes a friend of Jesus. Because Jesus has a way of doing this, of looking past and beyond all the things that we tend to focus on and judge people by. Jesus can see past that. And when Jesus sees, what he sees in this moment is that he sees a man who needs hope, and he meets that man right where he's at. So let's pick up our story. Luke chapter 19, we're going to read the first 10 verses together. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, and since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be a guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and they were always associated with sinners. And the reason why is because they were super corrupt, super corrupt. They collected far more than their fair share of taxes, and they became stinking rich, really rich. And Zacchaeus, we're told, is the chief tax collector, which means that he was a guy who oversaw several areas right throughout Jericho. So he was really wealthy. And he wants to see Jesus. Now, this is before anybody had YouTube subscribers or anything Insta-famous, so there wouldn't have been a way of tracking where he's at. But they hear this conversation around the place that Jesus was coming to town. This is a big deal, which gathers a big crowd. Some people are saying he's the miracle worker. Other people are saying he's the Son of God. Some people are saying he's the Messiah. So Zacchaeus is like, well, hey, I want to have a look at this. I want to see this guy. I'm intrigued. But here was the challenge. He was a small guy. How small? We don't know exactly. But I did a little research and here's what I discovered. According to the skeletal remains of men in ancient Middle East, the average height of a man was 5'5". So if Zacchaeus was described as little, that puts him probably 5 feet tall or less, and he really wants to see Jesus. Now what happens next is often portrayed as quite cute. That Zacchaeus climbs up the tree and he's sitting there and he's waiting for Jesus to come by. And if you grew up in Sunday school, you're actually maybe familiar with the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. The Sunday school teachers love this story. And there's good reason to, because it's really easily teachable. But it's almost portrayed as kind of cute. What I want to let you know today is that this would not have been seen as cute. The only people who would climb trees were children, not grown men. The sight of a grown man climbing a tree would be deemed as, this guy was a fool, there's something wrong with him. He's not really perceived as something as cute. It's laughable, it's a joke. It would have been seen as a disgrace for a man to act like this in front of people. And the really interesting detail in this text is this, because it tells you that Zacchaeus was willing to do anything. He was willing to humble himself in order to get close to Jesus. And in that lies a really important principle, a really important truth for us, that if we want to get close to Jesus, we're going to have to ignore what others might think of it. If we want to get close to Jesus, we're going to have to ignore what others might think of it. In Matthew chapter 18, the early followers of Jesus, they're known as the disciples, they're engaged in this really weird discussion. It's like these guys have been selected by Jesus, handpicked by Jesus, they've been traveling with Jesus, they've seen the supernatural, yet they're in this conversation of saying, I wonder who's the greatest among us. I wonder who's the greatest follower. Who's going to have the best seat in the kingdom of heaven? Now, as I said, these guys were involved in pretty heavy stuff. They had participated in miracles. And here they are having this conversation about who's the most important among them. And to make matters worse, they don't keep the conversation to themselves. They end up going to Jesus and asking him, Lord, who is the most important among us? Who's the greatest among us? And Jesus, I'm sure he would have been disappointed in that question. But he answers with an analogy. And what he does, he gathers them round and he brings a little child into the middle of them. And he said, truly I say to you that unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like a child, the greatest is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So what we're seeing here, something really important, is that Zacchaeus, it's quite beautiful because he was actually teaching us something really important, that we are to keep our focus on Jesus and no matter what the crowd think. Humble ourselves before Jesus. And no doubt in my mind that some of the crowd, they would have pointed and laughed at him because he was doing something that was outrageous. You know, he was climbing a tree as a man. That was outrageous to them. Not only that, Zacchaeus would have been trying to get close to what they would have described as a righteous man in Jesus. How could this guy, who's a liar, he's a cheater, he's greedy, how could someone as unrighteous as him ever think that he could get close to a righteous man as Jesus? Jesus teaches us again in Matthew about this topic. Chapter 21, he's having a conversation with the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, they were this religious group. And they were the people who essentially delivered Jesus to be crucified. And they had a real love for authority. And Jesus puts a threat to that authority. And even though Jesus did miracles in their midst, they just couldn't take it. They couldn't take the idea of someone being higher than they are. And they couldn't come to the grips with the fact that Jesus was in fact who he said he was, and he was turning everything in their world upside down. So in the crowd, you would have had people like this, religious leaders, who would have thought, this is a joke. There's no way that this guy could ever, ever make contact with Jesus, because Jesus was seen as a righteous man, and this guy was seen as unrighteous. But here's something really, really important to note. Jesus never allowed the culture to control what he did. Jesus never allowed the culture to control what he did. You see, often back then as well, the culture is very confused. And today, our culture is confused. And the beautiful thing about this is that Jesus rises above culture. It doesn't matter what culture thinks, because there's something that transcends culture. Truth. Truth is greater than culture. And Jesus would never have approached Zacchaeus if he was to follow culture. Never. How could Jesus do that? But I believe Jesus is just so good at showing us these things. He rises above it. And he says, look what I'm doing right now. There's a guy here who's willing to put himself in the most humiliating position in order to get a glimpse of me. He's putting himself in a humiliating position just so he can get close. And so Jesus does the unthinkable to these religious leaders. And I love this because Jesus never really does what people expect him to do. And here's the reason why. Because Jesus is clothed in grace. And when people experience that grace of Jesus, they are completely and totally transformed. So you know, when Jesus says to Zacchaeus, look, I want to spend time at your house today. Now just remember this. He's in amongst all these people. They would have heard this conversation. They were around him. He was in a very influential city. And he's like, hey, Zacchaeus, I want to go back to your house and share a meal with you. Now, this was a big, big deal back then. Because sharing a meal with someone would take hours. It would be an opportunity to have long conversations. It would be an opportunity for you to get to know the person. And this is clearly what Jesus was after with Zacchaeus. I'm going to come to your house. And then the crowd started grumbling, thinking, how can this guy be the guest of a man who is a sinner? And with that, we often get the impression that Jesus only went and spent time with the homeless and the poor and the needy. And he did that a lot. But listen to this. Zacchaeus, who he's going to spend time with today, he wouldn't have had one earthly material need. Not one. He was so well off. Nothing would have been a struggle to him. But when Jesus is interested is, he's interested in the condition of the human heart. Because on this night, Jesus was about to eat the best food in all of Jericho. He's about to stay in the nicest facilities in all of Jericho. But here's the thing. Jesus saw that there was a man's heart in Jericho who was opening to him. This is good. Now watch this. How does the grace of Jesus influence this man? We have this moment where Zacchaeus, he repents and he commits to following Jesus. Verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Now, something to note here. Jesus is the one who asks to go to his house. He's the one who initiates the contact. And the thing is, Jesus doesn't show up and say, here's the deal, I'm going to spend time with you and then we can be friends. But in order for that friendship to happen, you're going to have to give away half of all you have and you're going to have to make right everything you've done wrong. And once you do that, we can be friends. No, Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says, look here, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to spend time with you. And then because of Jesus' presence, Zacchaeus is moved to change. And church, I want you to note this. There is a richness to God's kindness. There is a richness to God's patience. There's a richness to God's presence. And that's why grace changes everything. So imagine Zacchaeus' life now. What a testimony this guy is. He's still a tax collector. You see him coming down the street towards your house. And what do? You tell your family, turn off the lights. Everybody hides. The tax collector's here. Don't say anything. We're not home. And then Zacchaeus shows up. He bends down at your front door. And then he walks away. And when he's out of sight, you open up the door and you look down and there's a big bag of cash. And there's a little note that says, I want you to know, I met Jesus. He showed me grace and kindness and he wants to be my friend. I am a changed man. So here's the deal. I cheated you out of $100. Here's $400 in return. I'm sorry. Love, Zacchaeus. When grace comes into our lives, it changes us radically. It causes us to ask questions, what's different about us? What's different about the way we spend our money? What's different about the way our thought life? What's different about the way our family life is now? How do we know what's the difference? So maybe the question is like this, just like Zacchaeus, have we really brought Jesus into the family meal? Instead of just giving him a quick tip of the hat, thanks for the food, do we actually invite him into the family meal? Do we set a place for him at the table? And what I've learned and what I've seen since I've been studying this passage, but also just in my life, that quite frankly, at times, the challenge in my own life is that sometimes we get so caught up in what we're doing and our struggles that we're sitting in the crowd. We're sitting in the crowd and we can't see. And we face these struggles that the world has to offer, and what we really should be doing is climbing a tree. We need to go climb a tree. Look past the crowd and invite Jesus into our lives, our situations, and our homes. And Jesus always responds when we initiate. Because that when grace is received, grace is given. What an awesome God we serve. So let me pray for us. Father, in all things you are good, and we're so grateful for this story. Lord, I pray that when we go through hard times, that we'll be able to see past the crowd and look to you in all things. We love you and we worship you, God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Church podcast. If you'd like any more information on our church, how to give, or after this message you'd like to talk to someone, you can find everything you'll need to know on our website, crossroads.co.nz. Make sure you subscribe to this channel to keep up to date with new content, but thanks again, and we'll catch you soon.